My name's Graham Walker, I'm digital editor of The Star, and today we're looking at the forthcoming Sheffield Film and Comic Convention, which makes its debut at Sheffield's Motorpoint Arena, August the 30th and 31st. Now it's going to be full of memorabilia, toys, posters, books, comics, props, stalls, all kinds of things, but also some very special guests, a galaxy of stars of film and TV. Fans get to meet them for photos, sign-ins, giving talks, all kinds of things. It's brand new to Sheffield, so people don't know a lot about this. But to tell us about it, I've got a guy from the A-Team, Battlestar Galactica, Hawaii Five-O, he's been on Charlie's Angels, and of course he was the face. And I'm talking about Dirk Benedict. Dirk, absolutely lovely to have you on the phone. I'm delighted to say that you're going to be in Sheffield next weekend. What can fans expect?
That was one of the longest introductions I've ever had. That introduction was longer than my career. It lasted longer than my marriage, actually. What can you expect? Well, I'm looking forward to it. I have never spent time in Sheffield. I passed through once, and so it's going to be great. You know, you left out my appearance on Celebrity Big Brother back in whenever 2007 or 2008. But I'm looking forward to being in Sheffield. Yeah, I'm going to be sitting at a table. I'm going to meet and greet and talk, and then I do a question and answer session where people can ask their, you know, anything they want to know about Mr. T. No, it's fun. I do a panel and get to meet the people and talk to them, and I'll be there for 2 days. So
the A-Team, I mean, what a great program that was. Just to remind people, that was the group of the ex-US Army Special Forces personnel who were righting wrongs and on the run for a crime they didn't commit. I just loved that intro. It made great viewing, Dirk, but over 30 years since it was first broadcast, and it still remains as popular today. Why do you think that's so?
I think it's still popular because, number one, they don't make shows like that anymore. We were before political correctness, or we were in the beginning of it, so we had smoked and we had guns, and also it was a show starring four guys, and you can't do any of that anymore. That's all politically incorrect, all of that. So if you do a show now, you'd have to have half the team would have to be women, and you couldn't smoke, and then the guns would have to be in the background. And so it's like when they remade Battlestar Galactica, they turned my character into a woman because you can't have that James Bond character on TV anymore because he's a chauvinist. You know, he treats women like sex objects. So the A-Team wouldn't. You cannot make that show anymore. It's just not allowed. And B, it's around because we were a family show. We were, people watched it with mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, and they share, or their brothers and their sisters, and boys and girls liked it from age 8 to 80. It was designed for an entire family to sit and watch, no bad language, no, and that's another reason why it's still around.
It was very cartoonish, wasn't it? I mean, there were, in terms of like, there was some over-the-top violence, but people really didn't get hurt, did they?
Well, that's what, it was totally cartoon, and we were aware of that. We made it silly. As I was 6, 7 years old, could watch it and giggle, you know, because it just, we were just silly. We were slightly over the top. We were kind of cardboard characters, kind of one-dimensional. We were very aware of all that. We fought with writers and producers and everything in order to make it like that. So it was conscious. And when they did the movie version, they took all that out. So they made it more macho and real and sort of studly. And we were silly. It made it charming that we didn't take ourselves that seriously. And still being watched. I mean, it's on American television virtually every year. It's some channel is carrying it. So
At the show in Sheffield, I think they've got the A-Team van is going to be there as well. Now, when I
we'll go for a spin.
Well, let's go for a spin. When I see that, it'll bring back a lot of memories to me. What's your fondest memories of the show, Dirk?
Oh gosh, I don't know. It was just, my fondest memories of the whole fact that it was lightning in a bottle, and I knew it. I mean, I'd been around. I'd done Battlestar, I'd done 5 or 10, 15, 20 movies. I knew how special this was. These were three great guys. They were all big personalities. They were fun. They were funny. They were irreverent. They were unusual, and I knew, and so the special thing was just every day going there and doing battle with those guys and having fun and laughing. So when I think about it, all I think about is my memories. What was it like? I said, it was laughter. We just laughed all damn day. We just laughed. I mean, George used to kind of to sit in his trailer a bit, but Dwight and Mr. T and myself, we were outside laughing. We knew we were the end of an era. We were the end of an American thing, you know. We knew it because we were under attack. There were people trying to get us off the air.
It was a once-in-a-lifetime role, wasn't it? And I mean, it seemed to do wonders for you as a career. But do you look back now?
A career ender because, as I said, I was playing a character that they don't write anymore. James Bond has been feminized. You know, the girls, he falls in love, and the girls help him, and you know, and he's no longer the chauvinist that he was. So I was known for playing Starbuck and Faceman, and they were sort of James Bondian.
Was it a blessing or a curse landing that role?
Well, it was a blessing. I mean, here I am 35 years later talking about it, 30 years later. It was a blessing, and I've made wonderful lifetime friends, and we made a movie every 6-7 days. We crashed cars. We blew buildings up. We did stunts. We did high falls. We did car chases. I mean, what I got to do is like make a movie every 7 days. So they don't do that anymore. Nobody knows how to do it. There's not directors that know how to make that, do shoot 60-page script in 7 days. They don't know how to do that. And we had special effects, we had stunts, and I got to play, I got to be silly and funny. I got to do what I love doing best, which is joke. I got to play a silly ladies' man, an over-the-top, silly kind of con man, ladies' man, it was fantastic. No, I don't regret it, but it did. It did sort of mark the end of my career. I never really worked after that because the women executives thought I was that character, you know. They just think, oh, he's one of those guys. When I'd meet people and tell them, if nobody had watched, it wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have got to have all that fun. I wouldn't have got to do the show with George Peppard, Mr. T, and Dwight Schultz and have all that fun. So it was really always about, you know, the people that were watching. I mean, we were conscious that we talked about the fans, the people that were watching the show when we're making the show. George Peppard would say, no, we can't remember our audience. We can't do that. We can't. Dwight and I used to get a little too silly. So he would say, so we were thinking of the fans. So it's great. All the reason we do these shows is a chance to meet people who made my life very happy.
What have you got in store? Anything coming up?
No. After this, no, I go home and, I mean, I got a lot of stuff coming up, but nothing. And what you're talking about, no, I got sons and I travel and I got friends. I go to New York and I bounce around a bit. I live in Montana. I chop a lot of wood. I go fishing. I go up in the mountains. I hike in the mountains. I have friends and ranches, ride stuff. So I'm busy living my life, but no, I'm not making any movies or anything.
Well, listen, it sounds like you've got an idyllic lifestyle. You're a fascinating man.
I do. I'm living the dream. I can't believe it, you know. I mean, it's just weird. It's weird. I mean, you know, given what just happened with Robin Williams, who I know, you know, he was doing Mork and Mindy at the same time I was doing Battlestar on the same network. So we did our paths crossed doing publicity for the two shows. And to realize, you know, I mean, a guy, people who have it all in Hollywood and stuff, and I meet them. I mean, I'm lucky. I've got the ideal life.
You've got a fantastic life, and we're very blessed that you're going to give us a little bit of your time next week.
Except I have no woman. I have no woman in my life, which is such an ironic thing.
Yeah.
I was known for, and I had a lot of girlfriends, and I've ended up alone. Well, all those women told me, says, you know, you're going to end up all alone.
Might you be looking for somebody in Sheffield?
I'll be looking, yeah. I'm going to have auditions for Mrs. Benedict. Thanks for having me on. I hope the fans come to the show. There's lots of wonderful actors here, too, besides myself. And so it's fun. It's fun. Fun experience.
Dirk, I can't wait to meet you face to face. You see what I did there?
Look forward to it.
All right. Take care. See you next weekend.
Bye.
Bye-bye.